Welcome to Behind the Numbers. Tyson Banker with you here, Bench Clear Media. I'm here with a special episode for you guys to break down the Baseball America's top 100 prospect list and matching it up with hobby value. The last time I did rookie report, I did with my man Rob Kent, who I'm a co-host with on the Flagship Podcast, and I can't think of anybody better than to bring him on again. So welcome, Rob. Thanks for joining me on this awesome prospect rabbit hole dive we're going to go on, and we're both wearing Mariners hats together, which is, I won't tell everybody that you're pretending, but we'll leave it at that.
It was a nice welcome until then.
That's right.
Always a pleasure, Tyson.
So let's just get to the numbers. We're just going to run through the top 100 list from Baseball America. This list has been out since preseason, so a lot has changed. A lot of guys are in the big leagues now, so we're going to kind of talk about that as well. And just giving all the hobbyists an idea of what the value of prospects are and how this prospect game looks from a top 100 list perspective. Yeah. I think it's a fun way just to kind of dial it down and take a look. So let's go ahead and get this in here.
Let's rock.
All right. So this show is primarily going to be for the YouTube channel. So if you are listening to my podcast, we'll do our best to kind of pick through different names and numbers. But obviously, if you want to see the full list, it's going to be best viewed on Bench Clear. All right. So starting with, so kind of how I have the list broken down, what I did was player rank. So on the side, you can see Adley Rutschman says bracket 10. That means Adley Rutschman's the 10th guy on this list in terms of raw card first Bowman auto value. And so I pulled all PSA 10 values I could find of their base auto and then their raw base auto price. And then I let you know what product they're in as well. So, for example, we'll take Adley. Adley's first on the Prospect 100 list. He's 10th in raw card price. He's got 1,000 for a PSA 10 value. 360 for raw and 2019 Bowman draft is where you can find Adley Rutschman's cards. So that's just kind of how this list is going to go for us. But let's just kind of jump into the top 10. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't start with Anthony Volpe. So Rob, Anthony Volpe checks in at 10. He's 7th on his raw card rank amongst the top 100 list with a 436 raw value with a 1700 PSA 10 value out of 2020 Bowman. What do you want to say about Volpe to get us started?
So, I mean, he's expensive, right? But, I think we often talk about like buy low or sell high, but there's a third category, right? Which is buy high. You know, are there guys who, if you pay, the price they're going for, even though they're expensive, is that going to be a good thing? And I think, you might get a couple hundred bucks off this at some point in time, but I think Volpe is A, the real deal, but B, has so much stuff going for him that you might never see lower prices than this, especially if the market moves up. If the market goes down, overall, then you probably will, but I don't think that it'll be a Volpe thing. You know, he's the biggest market team there is. He's a shortstop. He's speed and power. He is just a super charismatic kid as well. People love him. He's, already right now the New York media is following him around.
Right.
So I feel like this is a guy who's not going to be out of the news anytime in the next little while. So, the more news he gets, the more attention he gets, the more interested people are going to be. You see what happened with Justin Dominguez, even though he's really scuffled, his prices haven't fallen really as much as you would have expected. They've fallen a lot, but not what you would have expected. And I think Volpe is A, not going to scuffle. I think he's just going to be a guy who's consistent and really good. And he's got all that stuff that Justin Dominguez has. He doesn't have a weakness that you can see in the stat line. There's just nothing there. He's not been lucky. He walks a lot. Doesn't strike out much. Steals bases. Hits home runs. He's really got everything. So if I'm buying high and I have bought high on Volpe, that's my buy high,
right?
Probably on the entire list.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I just speaking from a Mariners fan who's watched every at bat of Julio, Seattle already loves Julio for the same type of things you're talking about in terms of his approach, his smile, just his passion for the game. We'll get the numbers on your show even more about Julio, but just the fact that he's been taking a beating from the umpires to start the season. Totally. I think, was it 7? It's called third strikes that weren't strikes at some point. He's got quite a big...
Nine.
So he's had a tough start, and he's been pretty good throughout.
Yeah.
What do you think about Bobby Witt, though? Right, and look at this. He just seems to me, I know he's got the speed. He's got like 100 in percentile in speed on Baseball Savant. But what do you think about him in terms of your point of buying high? Is he too high?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think he's way too high, to be honest. I mean, on my show, you know, I look at sort of different stats than a lot of people do, and he has never, you know, lit up the stat line for what I'm looking at. He you know, strikes out too much, doesn't walk enough. His plate discipline isn't very good. He doesn't get on base enough. He's a flashy player that the scouts loved. You know, he's a number one draft pick, so he had that helium just right from the get-go. I don't see him as being a long-term value, and certainly not a short-term value. You know, $3,300 for a PSA 10 auto for that kind of player, I don't see it. Things can change. You know, he looks, this is going to probably rile some people, but he looks a little bit like Acuña did coming out of AAA.
Right.
And for me, Acuña would not have been a big deal coming out of AAA. He just didn't have the numbers that I look at. But Acuña changed in 2020. Acuña switched things up and suddenly grew plate discipline. And you know, now I am, you know, all in on Acuña. And Witt can do that too. But as of right now, he's not someone that is even really on my radar in terms of investing.
Right. And I think we can both agree that with the small sample size for all these guys that are up right now, it's hard to give anything definitive right now. Sure. Only thing I've noticed from Bobby Witt is just his defense has been a bit shaky. I'm fine with his approach to the plate. He's making pretty good contact, and he struck out at least once a game all through the minors. So we kind of expected that. When he hits it hard, and he has that speed to make it really count. Yeah. So I think that's for him is going to be the long-term hope, is that he is a, you know, 2-for-4, 2 stolen bases, you know, like type of guy. He can do a lot with his legs. So I think he is priced too high. I think he is a guy that we're going to see as it's going to kind of trickle down to reality a bit more as we get further and further in the season. Torque started off hot. He's still kind of like just a solid hitter. So you always wonder what that's going to be, because we know the kind of the top in terms of that profile is like a Vlad type approach. Can he get to a Vlad type approach, hard hit rate? I've been impressed with his lack of Ks. He hasn't K'd a lot this year, which is pretty good to start for him. So it's nice when a guy like him, who's not going to be running or making the most out of getting on base, like, you know, Julio's already got 4 stolen bases, that Torque is being more selective and not getting as many bad calls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think what you're seeing with Torque is something that's so important for people to understand, which is that he's the oldest of the prospects, right? And you know, he was a college bat, and that matters so much, you know, with the maturity, the physical maturity, mental maturity to come up to the majors. And he is basically, his numbers from the minors are just translating right into the majors.
Yep.
And I think that that's an amazing sign. There's nothing different there. We're not seeing a different player in the majors than we saw in the minors. So, you know, if you like what you saw in the minors, you should love what you're seeing in the majors. The only big thing knock on him is he's a first baseman, right? But he's, you know, starting out of the gate, you know, really strong. And so, you know, he may have enough time to overcome that negative hit on him.
Yeah. I think looking at the last 2 years with him and Adley in 19 and 20, that number one overall pick means a lot, because it really holds a status that you're pretty much going to be solid all the way through. Because even if Torque was struggling, his price would still be pretty good. But so just kind of keep that in mind. From this list, 8, I have X's next to you, the guys that are either going to probably be in the big leagues this year or already are. So as we kind of go through these, we'll kind of tally these at the end. And that's just how much you can expect for turnover coming to this list into next year, which is important, because more guys in top 100, the Bowman game gets a new landscape and things to consider. Yeah. Two catchers, two pitchers in here. Grayson Rodriguez is the top pitcher on the list in terms of prospect rank. I believe he is the most valuable as well. 325 for PSA 10, 96 for a raw. Grayson Rodriguez has been a guy that I think a little bit's market and a little bit's just like people been waiting for him for a long time, because he's been kind of showing good things for a long time in the minors. So I think his kind of slow build, a guy like Shane Baz, is he would have been up, but he got injured. So just kind of looking at those different options in terms of our catchers and pitchers. Well, let's get to the second group. If you have anything else about the top 10 here, Rob.
Just a question for you as a Mariners and a Julio fan. So he's been scuffling, obviously, not of his own fault. Prices have dropped dramatically. He's down like 40-45% since April 1st. That's how I've been sort of tracking prices. Do you see an opportunity here? Are his prices cheap enough that you would, you know, jump in if you were in that realm, or would you be looking at a mega box card or something like that? Or
yeah, I definitely would, because I just think right now we're at bottom dollar for Julio, because I'm still believing the player. His hard contact, his exit velocity, and all of the things you look at in Baseball Savant in terms of the value of contact are all really high in the 80. I think it was 70. He's a 75 percentile or higher on all of those.
Yeah.
And so he's hitting the ball hard. You know, a couple, like you said, 9 strikeouts that shouldn't have happened. I think right now it's a mirage. People just see 50% K rate and they're just like, we're out. And I'm actually pretty happy, because he's also stealing way more bases. His profile, we kind of thought a long time, most people said this could be a Soto type hitter.
Yeah.
But if Soto is speed, holy moly. So if it can get to there, I know that's big projection, but if we can get to that point where he's stealing 20 to 30 bases and hitting, you know, at a nice clip that we expect, that's going to be a pretty big value. So yes, I would be buying the dip for sure, especially if he continues to struggle. I don't see them demoting him. It really feels like the Mariners are locked into keeping him and Kelnick in the lineup however they can, and yeah, they're winning games. So as long as they're winning games, I think they're just going to kind of let them work through it.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree with all that. I think the stolen base thing is massive, right? Suddenly you have a 30-30 candidate.
Yeah.
You know, and if he does that, I mean, man, oh man, like, we've been undervaluing Julio Rodriguez, and I agree they're not sending him down. I did the math on what his stats should be if those strikeouts were not strikeouts, and then some of them, as you were mentioning to me, you know, off air, a number of them were full counts, so they actually would have been walks.
Yeah.
He right now should have a 14% walk rate, which is exceptional, especially for a rookie, young rookie too, and a 28% K rate, which is, you know, not great, but it's very, very reasonable. You know, Mike Trout gets up to the, you know, 25-26%. So, you know, his numbers should be excellent right now.
Yeah. And I don't want to make this a Julio show, because I'm Mariners fan, I won't be super biased, but when he swings and makes a bad contact, he knows immediately. That's the other thing too that I really like about it. It's like yesterday in the game, he swung and he popped up and he didn't even look up at it. He just started trotting mad to first because he knew he missed it. Like, just guys kind of know when they're where they're supposed to be with the bat and the ball. And I think that's just going to come around for him. I really believe it.
Yep, I think you're right.
All right, so jumping to 11 to 20. Pretty big guys on here. I'll just kind of chip through the big hobby guys. Corbin Carroll's 20, Casas, Marte, Luciano, Brendan Davis, Marcelo Mayer, O'Neill Cruz, Francisco Alvarez are probably the biggest hobby guys. Keibert Ruiz, solid. And then George Kirby, a pitcher, obviously is going to be pretty cheap because he's a pitcher. This one's really big in terms of, you have Marcelo Mayer, who comes in at 7th overall on the raw value. He's still on his high from 2021 draft. You got Marte on here, who is 11th on overall in his raw value. And I also like Francisco Alvarez is very strong, and I think a lot of that has to be he's an auto only guy, so I think those guys get naturally pushed up a little bit more because there's less to buy. He is 14th overall on his raw. What do you have to say about this group of 10 here, Rob?
It's an interesting one for sure. You know, especially with the catchers, KB Ruiz, I was super high on last year, and he hasn't really panned out as of yet. You know, you'd think that in that lineup too, they improved the lineup quite a bit, he would have had more of an opportunity, but it hasn't really come through yet. I think he will figure it out. I think there's probably some opportunity there. Francisco Alvarez, in the stats that I track, is the number one hitter in the minors right now. And he's also quite young. You know, he's 20 years old in Double A, so there's no age benefit that he's getting. He doesn't even have an especially high BABIP, 368, which is, you know, reasonable, probably come down a tiny bit, but he hasn't been all that lucky. He's just killing it. I would say there's a great opportunity there, but I would, you know, ask you sort of, just, we've talked, there's so many catchers already in the top 20. Like,
yeah.
Do catchers have a future? Is the same opportunity there?
Yeah, I think that's the thing where we have to kind of tailor our expectation of this Baseball America's Top 100 list, because I think catchers are pretty important to teams, but I don't think they're going to be important to the hobby necessarily.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it. I think there's 5 or 6 catchers on this list, which is a lot. Yeah. So in all, I think we can adjust in the sense of if we have a really big hitting catcher, like I think Francisco Alvarez, I think Moreno, I think Adley are all probably top tier hitters. Yeah. But at the same time, they're still going to get that hobby catcher demotion in terms of value.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Torque's prices versus Adley's prices for number one picks in comparison, Torque's quite a bit ahead.
Not even close, yeah.
Right. So
I think continue on this list, like Marco Luciano's still scuffling and you know, it feels like MILB.com and MLB.com are just doing their best to get that guy some attention, but
yeah,
there's just, you know, he's got a 7% walk rate so far, 25% K rate. He hasn't stolen a base. You know, he's just not doing anything.
Right.
I still feel like he's overvalued at this point, which is, you know, kind of sad. Noel V. Marte is doing okay, you know, not killing it really yet. He's a 3.1% K rate so far in he's in high A and he's 20 years old, so that worries me a little bit. I've been high on him for a while.
Right.
Who else? Corbin Carroll, I absolutely love. He's doing really, really well so far. He is 21 in double A, so you know, the age thing is not a perfect match. You'd want him to be in triple A by 21, but he's just killing it, and with such a small amount of experience as well in the past few years, I think you have to see that as really encouraging. I think there's a possibility that he could be in the top five at some point this year, especially with all the guys moving off. Brendan Davis, I don't know that much about. He's a guy that you've been focused on.
Yeah, I have his stuff right here. So he's having a really rough start, to say the least. He's got a 32% K rate, 12% walk rate. In his 16 games of AAA right now. He kind of wavered a bit last year. It was 16 and 22% K rate with a 16% walk rate last year. With him, it's waiting for that power to really click. Everybody kind of saw him in the Futures All-Star game where he hit a home run and everybody just kind of got really riled up about it.
Right.
But the Cubs have a lot of interest. He's their kind of top guy that they're looking forward to for the short term. But I just think that he needs to really start showing some signs because they want him to come up this year. And right now he's not. So I definitely, he is dropping. His value has dropped. So I have a couple of his cards I've noticed. But I wouldn't say I'm out. It's still too pretty early. But he's, you know, no stolen bases the last 2 years, only 16 home runs in 30 games in AAA. So not terrible, but you'd like to see a little bit more in terms of his slugging and those type of values for him.
Yeah.
So, but not completely worried.
Okay. What do you think of O'Neill Cruz?
Yeah, so I think O'Neill, as you and I have covered on your show, I think he's a very like a polarizing type kid with how big he is and the things that he's put out for exit velocities and the different things he's done. But that profile and that height and those things, we just never seen that be successful long-term in MLB. So just going off history and just going off intuition, you would say that he's a great guy once he gets called up to sell. He's also had a great spring training, but then he hasn't done anything since he's been in the minors this year so far to kind of earn that promotion. So to me, he's a guy that if I had anything, which I don't, I would be selling right around call up on the hype because I think people will be pretty excited when he does get the call.
Zero home runs.
Yeah.
I hadn't noticed that until just now. That's not good.
That's not good. Yeah. I for me, when I look at this list, I think I'll just kind of go through. I think Alvarez, I feel great long-term right now. Carroll, I feel great long-term. And then I still feel good about Marte long-term. Those are probably the three guys I feel pretty good about that are still probably going to slowly work their way up this list.
Yeah.
The other guys, like I think Luciano's being dropping, he probably still will drop. And a lot of these other guys will be gone off the list.
So. All right.
All right, on to the third group here. So 21 through 30. Again, each list, I'll kind of just pick through guys that are really hobby viable. So Tyler Soderstrom is a 2020 draft. So Zach Veen, you've Jordan Walker. So there's 3, Cade Cavalli, 4, Reed Detmers, 5, and Robert Hassel, 6. So 6 guys in this chunk from one product, 2020 Bowman draft. I love Hassel. Hassel's been killing it starting again. He's got great speed and great contact skills so far, so I'm kind of a big fan of him. Yeah. Veen was really impressive in some spurts last year, and Soderstrom has really struggled to start the year off this list. Just going through real quick, Jordan Walker is fourth in terms of his raw value. We have 16th for Jordan Lawler overall for his raw value already. So that's a pretty high value for him. And then Zach Veen runs in at 19th for his raw value. So have those shifted over on the table there, but it is for their raw values. Who do you like in this list, Rob?
Tyler Soderstrom was high on my list last year, and I'm not giving up on him. I think he's just a really talented hitter. He is on the A's, you know, which is not great, and currently is listed as a catcher. I think nobody believes he'll be a catcher, but a lot of stuff going against him right now. But I think that there's a, you know, a potential buy low opportunity here. I do think that he's going to be a serious hitter. He's a young 20 years old in high A, and like you said, he is scuffling, you know, almost 30% K rate to start the year, so that doesn't look like a great hitter, but that's not normal for him. The two guys that I like are the same guys that you highlighted, the two bottom guys, number 29 and 30 on the list, Jordan Lawler and Robert Hassel, both young. Lawler's 19, Hassel's 20. Lawler's in A ball, Hassel's in high A, and both just showing great plate discipline, hardly striking out at all. Both having, you know, serious power for being young and at their levels. Great OBPs. Lawler's OBP to start the year so far is 500. Robert Hassel's is 433. So I mean, these guys look, you know, in obviously a very small sample size, but you know, they look amazing, and the prices also are amazing. So
right,
you know, especially for Lawler, you know, almost $700 for a PSA 10 of a 19 year old guy on Arizona. You know, I'm not chasing that, I don't think.
No.
Robert Hassel seems a little bit more reasonable, 455. Those are my two guys of that 10, I think.
Yep, definitely. In terms of Veen's like a huge gamble guy. Like, you look at his stuff. Here now he's got a 35% K rate with a 15% walk rate, and he's got a 386 OBP with seven steals already in 13 games and one homer. So he's got the speed power profile, but that contact rate's going to have to pick up to really catch on, because that's only in high A right now. So he's not even being super like challenged to the level you would hope for those type of K rates. So that's a little bit worrisome. It's early though. It's only, you know, 13 games in. For almost the semester, there's my teacher voice coming out, but for this season. But overall, I think that, I mean, what this shows me, that 2020 draft, as you and I talked about a couple times on your show a couple weeks ago or months ago, actually, is that 2020 draft's loaded. There's so many guys in there that it's probably a decent box to open on your own, even if you don't want to do a break. I really like that.
Yeah, Veen, this is just anecdotal, but I seem to remember he did this exact same thing last year, where he started out the year and had a crazy high K rate and wasn't doing much, and then, you know, brought it all together by the end of the year.
Right.
But to me, you know, it depends obviously what your risk tolerance is, but he appears at this point with relatively small amount of data to look at as to be pretty like streaky.
Yeah.
And I know from a investing standpoint, from a fantasy standpoint, it's even worse, but like you don't want that, right? You want guys who are just consistent, you know. And so he's gonna give you heartache, he's gonna give you roller coaster rides and on your prices and stuff like that. Maybe you can take advantage of that and get in on the lows and sell on the highs, but that's a difficult player, I think, looking forward at this point.
Like you said, your comment about Lawler with the Diamondbacks, I think that has to come into play when we're talking about Veen too. Because, I mean, what have the Rockies really produced prospect-wise that you really hung your hat on? I mean, we've seen what's happened to Brendan Rodgers. He's been atrocious this year. Just their overall kind of prospects match seems to never pan out. That can change, but so far, not so good.
Totally. And also, you know, the Hall of Fame thing being sort of docked from anybody who plays in that stadium.
Right.
So, yeah, if for long-term collectors, I think wearing a Rockies jersey, that's a negative.
Yeah. And I'll just to close this list, I think it's highly probable that Jack Leiter will be in 2022 Bowman. They usually hold back that second, like close to the second pick. Mm-hmm. He didn't make the draft list, so I'm pretty sure he'll be there. So you can look for him in that one. He is already one of the top pitchers overall in the top 100. He's been okay to start his minor league career, but the K rate looks pretty good to start. And then the other thing I want to say was Jordan Walker. I always kind of remember he's kind of got that Harry Ford type feel in draft, where his autos were much harder to find. So if Jordan Walker is a guy that you are looking at, that's why his values are a little bit higher, because his cards are harder to find. So just kind of bake that into if you're a person who's going to be chasing Jordan Walker. All right. 31 through 40. A lot of guys in this list that I like. I've actually chased Nick Yorke quite a bit. I do like Alec Thomas quite a bit. And I think Brett Batty's got some upside as well in terms of players. We've talked about Batty on your show before. And then Miguel Vargas, I've heard a lot of fantasy love for him over the last couple months in terms of just kind of being a quiet guy in the Dodgers organization. Yeah. In terms of just the expensive guys, it looks like Yorke is the expensive. He's 17th on raw card value, and everybody else is pretty reasonable price here. Hunter Green, a couple guys are close, but nothing too expensive raw. Everybody's pretty affordable in this group. What do you think about 31 through 40, Rob?
So Nick Yorke, I mean, he was the guy that I was most high on for sure coming out of last year. His numbers were amazing. I mean, he hardly ever strikes out. So nice high walk rate, really high OBP. The only thing that was missing was power. And then looking, you know, it's only 50 plate appearances so far in 2022, but he's, you know, really not doing well at all. He's, you know, his walk rate's still fine and K rate's still fine, but he has even less power. His ISO right now is 0.05, which is just, you know, really, really abysmal. He's got zero home runs. So, right. You know, you, I think to warrant that valuation at $520 for a base auto, he's got to show a little bit of power. He's also not young at this point anymore, 20 years old in high A. That's, you know, age appropriate. He's not old or anything like that, but it would be great to see him really sort of take off and show that last year wasn't you know, just a fluke. After that, I this is an interesting group of guys. I think, you know, there's, in terms of fantasy, like, this is an amazing group. Like, if you're you know, looking for trades or drafting or whatever, this is an amazing group to look at.
Right.
From a card standpoint, these guys are all on the old side. These guys are all guys who have, you know, maybe doing well right now. Nolan Gorman, for example, you know, he's got 7 home runs, but he also, that 7 home runs comes with a 31% K rate. So I think, like, each one of these guys has quite a good, you know, knock on them. Miguel Vargas is on the old side. He'll be 23 probably before he comes to the major leagues. Plus he plays in the Dodgers, which, you know, to me is always just an issue just because they've got so much like depth. You know, for anybody to actually find a spot on that team, it just seems to be super difficult. You know, Will Smith doesn't play very much, and he's one of the best hitters in baseball, ultimately. Like, and they sit him 40 games a year. so it's just like, I don't, you know, I don't like buying Dodgers, to be honest, unless it's a guy who I know has a spot. So this is probably, you know, so far my least favorite group of 10. In terms of cards, in terms of other things, these are, you know, fantastic players. But
I would agree with you in terms of the high upside of cards, but I also would say that, like, I feel like Alec Thomas is a nice buy. I think that he's a guy that once he comes up could produce, he'll see some growth. I think that Batty and Vargas both are kind of guys, I think a lot of potential for growth, but I don't see the huge upside guys at all. And like what you're saying, in terms of, you know, Nolan Gorman, that's kind of been his MO. He's a high K rate, hits the ball hard when he hits it. Kind of trust the Cardinals a bit on them with that. And he is shelling out right now, which is nice. You know, Beatty's kind of, you know, high K rate, not doing great right now. He's got 4% walk rate with 29% K rate, which is not a good recipe. With that, he's batting .378 somehow, but only one homer for him so far. And then Vargas is kind of the profile you like, is he's got 15% walk rate with 17% K rate. So he is making pretty good contact, but his ISO is relatively low right now. He's not hitting the ball hard at this point. Yeah. But all in all, you know, Hunter Green, you know, throws 100. He's a fun guy just to have a card with. And him and Lodolo's taking his lumps early. He hasn't really had much success in the majors yet. But the Reds have a nice little future with those two going forward, I think, in terms of pitchers.
I think Bobby Miller, just from memory, is also doing really well.
Yes, I think on the Dodgers, yeah.
Another Dodger who will not see anything. He'll end up as a middle reliever somehow.
Yep.
But,
and he's
he's doing really, really well so far just out of the gate.
Yep, and he's another sneaky 2020 draft. Most people, when they got 2020 draft, they got the Dodgers, they were not happy. So he's a little sneaky guy you can get.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, let's go to the 41 to 50 here. So we got this year's number one overall pick, Henry Davis, top of this list. He comes in at 23rd in raw value overall. This is a pretty interesting list of hitters mostly. You have Matt Brash, who's up right now with Seattle. Just quick thing for him, he doesn't have any cards in terms of Bowman, so we don't really talk about him. Nick Gonzalez on here, some of the more 2020 draft guys, and then Michael Harris, who was pretty strong in 2020 Bowman Chrome for value, and then Austin Martin, who led the 2021 Bowman product. Who do you like on this list, Rob? And like, I know this, I know you're Melendez's friend for the catchers, but who else do you like?
This is another tough one just because of age. Like, all these guys are, you know, 22 or older, with the exception of Michael Harris. And Michael Harris's plate discipline is not in my zone that I look at. Nick Gonzalez, I think, is probably the guy that I would be looking at the most. He's got a 24% walk rate, coupled with a 38% K rate right now. But, you know, that's not normal for him. I do see him as being sort of potentially kind of like an Ozzie Albies sort of type play, you know, where he'll hit a good number of home runs, he'll steal a good number of bases, play a, you know, premium second base. The team doesn't work all that well, being, you know, Pittsburgh, but I think he has probably a long future in the major leagues. The other guys, I think, again, this is a great fantasy list. You know, I think Austin Martin is super undervalued. Generally speaking, not in cards, but in terms of just people, you know, esteeming him, especially now that he's on Minnesota. I think Nick Prado, MJ Melendez, I think, is going to be a star. He is, you know, not doing all that well right now, but the numbers that he put up last year are just, you can't do that without being incredibly talented. And then Henry Davis, you know, this is the first sort of bit of information that we're getting about him, and he's doing pretty well. His walk rate is on the low side for me, 7%, but everything else looks really, really quite good. But you know, a catcher on Pittsburgh, you know, I don't know, that's probably two strikes as far as my radar is concerned.
Yeah, you know, that's my only drawback. You know, I'm a Nick Gonzalez guy. Just the Pittsburgh organization, it just, again, they haven't done well with prospects, or if they are good, they do trade them away. So I just haven't been on board with them as much, even though I do like Nick Gonzalez's profile as well. I think Albies is definitely a nice ceiling to look at if you can put it all together.
Yeah.
Austin Martin was weird. I think once he got traded from the Blue Jays, it just seemed like he lost a lot of momentum because his cards just kind of dropped, which is odd because Minnesota is not a terrible market. No. But yeah, so he's definitely one that I think is flying under the radar. I think you're right. That could be a good buy opportunity for sure. All right, let's hit 51 to 60. This list is very, I'll just say, weak. It's kind of led by some, I would say Khalil Watson is probably the biggest guy on here, but he has no cards yet. So he is a prep shortstop that's now on the Marlins, who's also started off hot this year as well. And then Brady House is another big name in 2021 draft that doesn't have an auto yet. His purple base chrome non-auto sold for 174, which is a very respectable number for a base chrome card. Brujan is a guy with a lot of steals, but you know, his contact skills have been kind of lacking. Everything else is pretty minimal when it comes. Peraza has some upside, but otherwise everything else is pretty minimal. I did like Gunnar Henderson. He took a step back to finish the year last year. I'd like to see what he does this year, because I still think he can be a good guy for the Orioles.
Yeah, he's my guy too. In this list, he's killing it this year. He has more walks than strikeouts so far. Two homers, three stolen bases, and some power. There's nothing. He doesn't have a weak spot in his stat line so far. What did you say his price is? $211 for a PSA 10. I mean, that could be an interesting opportunity there. I think Baltimore in the next, you know, 5 years is this, that's going to be an exceptional team.
They've got
amazing pitchers in the minors, you know, Dale Hall and Grayson Rodriguez, and then obviously tons of offense. You know, when these guys all come up, that team is going to be really special. And you know, I think that's another thing that is really important. If you buy guys who end up on winning teams, that's going to be good for your investment strategy. And I think Baltimore right now, you know, is last place in everything, including payroll. But you know, 5 years from now, that's not going to be the case. You can't. No one could possibly project that. So I think that could be a great opportunity, Gunnar Henderson.
Definitely. You know, I would just say that of these guys, though, Khalil Watson will probably come out at a Lawler type price, if not higher, in 2022 Bowman. And then Brady House gets his autos, he'll probably be up there too. They'll be breaking the party, that's for sure. They'll come in hot.
Yeah. Brady House looks amazing as well. Not quite the same, like, sort of exceptional numbers as Gunnar Henderson, but you know, he's just missing a bit of power right now.
Right.
And that looks like something special.
Definitely. All right, 61 to 70. So as we kind of get further and further this list, we get more pitchers, kind of guys that aren't as, I think, hobby relevant. You know, Cole Wynn, it's not really hobby relevant. You got Sixto, who's injured. Espino is a very good pitcher, not really hobby relevant. I didn't want to get your thoughts on Rocchio. I think he's been a sleeper of mine for a couple years. He kind of keeps slowly working up the ranks, been playing decently well for the Indians or the Guardians. But what are your thoughts on Rocchio if you take a quick look?
He got on my radar last year for a little bit. He doesn't walk enough for me, but this year he is walking. So last year he didn't. This year he's up to about 9% walk rate, which is, you know, that's reasonable. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, he's a hard one to sort of peg down. He's 21 in AA, which, you know, that works. But he's not doing any one thing really well. His OBP is only 300 right now, even though he is walking a bit more. So I would want to see a little bit higher OBP there.
Right.
I think one of the interesting guys on this list is George Valera, though. He doesn't have a card yet.
Right. No, he doesn't have a card. No, he doesn't. He has one in first edition that just came out, but he doesn't have. So he looks like he'll be 2022 Bowman.
Okay. I think that'll be a huge chase when he finally comes out. He's 21 in AA and he's doing everything right. He has an equal split for walks and strikeouts right now. Lots of power. He's got a OBP of 451 right now. And I can't remember if it was Jose Ramirez. Somebody big on the Guardians said that George Valera was one of the best baseball players they've ever seen.
Wow.
So to be in the 68th spot and probably very close to a call-up, like he might see some time this year even, and he doesn't have a card yet, I think that's an interesting situation that we don't see very often.
Right. Yeah, you know, I also just mentioned Tyler Freeman because he's had a little bit of love off and on places. He's just dirt cheap. He doesn't have a lot of power, and he looks just like kind of like a average player, but he could hit for a good average to kind of give yourself a bump when he gets called up. People get a little excited. He's got a really low K rate, but also a low walk rate. So if that can ever transform to anything, it's just something to keep an eye on. Yeah. Bryson Stott struggled coming up. He's had kind of a tough go with Philly's been in and out, and then Baum's also started playing well. So they're kind of going back and forth on that now.
Yeah.
But his prices were definitely topped out when I pulled these. They've probably dropped since. But definitely a guy just to kind of monitor, but I think he's kind of at a peak right now still. So Stott would be a guy I'd be getting out on if I had any.
Agreed.
So perfect. All right. As we keep working through here, we're almost there. Rob, thanks for going through all this with me.
That's fun.
Yeah. So then here's this. I like, this is one of my favorite lists actually for how low it is. So in this list, we have Joey Bart, who's up right now. You have Pena for Houston, who's looked really good. Matos for the Giants, who I think is their best prospect over Luciano right now. You have Olvis Martinez, and you also have Piguero from Pittsburgh, who a lot of people like, along with Jackson Jobe from Detroit out of their top pick in this year's draft. Just real quick, Pena is 15th on raw value, and that's just from this. That's probably within a two-month jump. He really jumped once they started getting noise that he might lead off or he would start with the team. You also have Olvis has 21 is where he's at for his raw pricing in the ranks, and then you have Matos at 24 and Joey Bart still at 18 for raw value. So Joey Bart's prices are still pretty high. Even though I like Joey Bart, that's probably a sell because he's pretty one-dimensional. Yeah. In terms of what he can do, he's just a big bat at the end of the lineup. I mean, really, and I think this might be underselling him, but I look at, as a Mariner fan, Tom Murphy just sits in the 7-8 hole and the guy they just hope hits it over the fence. I think that Bart might kind of be. So I think it's probably a good time to sell any Joey Bart if you're not just having him as a fan. Yeah. I do like Max Meyer for pitching wise, and I'm a pretty big Piguero fan because he has that. I just like those weird guys. They forget things for Bowman. He doesn't have a first stamp on his card, even though it's a first.
Right.
So I do kind of like chasing those type of little rarities. But who do you like on this, Rob?
I mean, believe it or not, my favorite guy on this list is Michael Busch. So
yeah,
he's a Dodgers future second baseman. Maybe it seems like he's figuring out that position. He is a little bit old. He's 24, just and he's only in AA so far. But I mean, his numbers are really exceptional. He's got almost an even split between walks and strikeouts. OBP 470 right now. He's got six home runs and a stolen base to go along with it. He is really like in beast mode in AA. He needs to be moved up quickly. Again, you know, this problem with where in the world is he going to play when he gets to LA, particularly second base is just a logjam right now.
you know, they are barely finding time for Gavin Lux to play. So, you know, that's a huge knock, and he's old for the minors. So it's not a great one, but I think player wise, that's the guy who's going to really do it. I'm not a fan of Matos. He doesn't walk enough for my liking. And then Peña is an interesting one. I feel like the hobby's making a little bit of a mistake on this one. He'll turn 25 at the end of this season. You know, that usually doesn't work. That's a situation where, you know, where we've seen with Kyle Lewis, where we've seen with Randy Arozarena recently, where we've seen with Alec Bohm, where, you know, the hobby goes all in on these guys, and the window for them to succeed is tiny. Like, you know, to be almost 25 years old and have one WAR, which is what Peña has, which is amazing to already have accumulated one WAR in 2022, but he can't fail for any period of time. He can't have 6 months where he, you know, doesn't produce. So
right.
If I was a Peña owner right now, I would definitely be selling.
Yeah.
Peguero, I don't know much about him actually.
But yeah, so his numbers look good. He's like right now he's playing really well, and he was pretty good in 2021 as well. He doesn't walk probably as much as you like. He's at 7.9% last year and a 4.2% walk rate this year. But he is hitting it pretty hard when it's in play. And he does have the home run speed combo. You know, last year he ended up with 14 homers, 28 steals. This year he's off to 2 home runs and 4 steals. So he has a nice little attractive profile for sure. And he is relatively cheap, like $45 for a raw auto of him. I mean, why not take a chance on a couple of those? I think that he is a very good value. I'm going to push the other way. Orlovis Martinez, his value stumps me. I know we're up here in Canada, you and I, and I know there's a lot of love for Olvis, but his numbers are not pretty. He barely walks at all, like literally at all. Like right now, he's at a 2% for this year so far. And even if we give him 2 years, he is young, you know, 19 and 20 right now. But I just don't see where his hobby value is matching his prospect status. He's low on the prospects list. He's also not putting up amazing numbers that makes you want to jump at it. So I'm just trying to get a feel for this. It can be all projection, similar to Matos, but I just don't like where his value is. So I would definitely be selling all of us if I had any of him, which I don't. And I have sold the ones I did have.
Yeah, agreed 100%. I think this is a funny perception in the hobby. It's the same thing that's happening with Gorman. It's like, you know, it is true. You can prove this historically that a guy can develop power. You know, if a guy is like Juan Soto, for example, if a guy has great plate discipline, is an amazing hitter, and doesn't have much power, the power can come. The reverse is not true. If a guy has tons of power, it's very, very, very rare that he learns how to be a great hitter, contact guy. And, you know, or Elvis is, you know, his ISO right now is 354, which is, you know, Pete Alonso-esque. But like you said, it's no plate discipline. And that's not a skill that people can, maybe they can, but it's very rare that they do, that they learn that. It's one of those things about baseball that seems to be like you have it or you don't have it. And he doesn't have it. So, like, if he comes up to the majors, A, he's going to be totally overpowered by major league pitching for a good period of time. And if he does continue that power stroke, you know, kind of who cares? In the same way of Pete Alonso, right? Pete Alonso is an amazing player, hits tons of home runs, but he's not relevant in the hobby. Because that's ultimately not what the hobby values. The hobby values, whether they like it or not, whether you believe in WAR or not, whether you want to argue against all that stuff or not, the hobby values getting on base. And that's not what Orelvis Martinez does. So, I'm totally with you. I don't have any either, but if I did, I would have sold it all a long time ago. I don't get it.
And just to close up, like your Bush take on terms of Michael Bush, like I just feel like, you look at Matos, you can like Matos more than Bush, but Bush is $27 for a raw and Matos is 182. Right. So you also have to factor in like, sure, Bush might not be a, you know, all-star, but when he gets called up with Dodgers, that's going to jump up to 75. Like it's going to jump up right away. So there's some plays that are just simple that you don't have to really hope for a home run. You just got to hope for them when they get their time, they're going to get their name buzz and you're going to have a chance to, you know, double, triple your money if that's your goal.
You know, when you can find a guy who's just a really great hitter, who knows what's going to happen to him, but he's not going to go down, right? Like like you said, he'll get a little bump on the call up and maybe he doesn't end up being a star, but you know, when a guy is hitting at a clip of like 470 OBP, it's a pretty safe bet at worst, you know, unless the hobby has already jumped on it.
And I think Pena's an example of that, because Pena was dirt cheap until his name started popping, and then boom, 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 and his stuff's off through the roof.
Exactly.
So definitely, I'm with you there. All right, as we trickle down here, so we have 81 through 90. All right, so we have this one's kind of got a couple polarizing guys. Like I think Christian Hernandez is a big name out of 2021 Bowman Chrome. He's 12th in terms of raw card value. So see him this far down. Yeah, he's 12th. I think a lot of it is projection, obviously. He is super young, so that's why he's so low on this list. Yeah. Then you kind of look down here. You got the other big one, Jason Dominguez. He is 9th on the overall raw value. His one's more of a head-scratcher because he is still young, but he's not. He was on this for a year now and hasn't climbed much, if not dropped. And then you have a couple of just producers. You have Miranda on here, who's people just waiting to come up. He's really cheap out of 2021 Bowman. Perdomo hasn't really done much. He doesn't really have a profile that's going to give much time. And you have a guy like Joe Ryan, who's been an all-star so far in terms of what he's done pitching-wise. He's had three great outings to start with the Twins. Been really impressive for a pitcher, and his base, you know, auto's $30. Yeah. Who do you like on this list? Maybe the return of Royce Lewis, or what are you looking at on this list, Rob?
This is a really tough one. I think the Jose Miranda price is mainly because of lack of supply. Last time I looked, the population was like 4 or something like that. So these cards aren't getting graded. He's really interesting, but he is on the older side, and the fact that he wasn't able to get a spot out of spring training was a little bit disappointing. So and now the Twins
started slow.
The Twins seem to be set up pretty well at this point. So it's, you know, that I think his window, he's another one of these guys who's, you know, in the sort of 24 range, and his window's closing in terms of being hobby relevant, unfortunately. So the guy I like the best is, you know, really contrary to what I normally pick, but it's Christian Hernandez. And the reason is that the amount of hype that is coming from behind this guy is like otherworldly in a different way than Jason Dominguez had. Like Jason Dominguez currently has a 2% walk rate.
1.8.
1.8.
Sorry. I just want to get the one.
Too much.
I just want to get the 1.8 in there. Yeah.
He has yet to hit a home run. Like from a stat line standpoint, Jason Dominguez has yet to do anything.
No.
Which is, you know, I mean, come on. So Christian Hernandez has been comped to as the next Alex Rodriguez. And that's why he's 12th in the PSA value chart. So he has only played in the DSL, but he was there at 17 years old. And, you know, the DSL is, you know, one of these weird things where you can find guys on the who were playing in there with OBPs of 600 and ISOs of 450 and all kinds of sort of weird stats. But his profile, if you just ignore the DSL thing and you just look at the profile and you say this guy was 17 years old, he had a 16% walk rate, 20.4% K rate, OBP of 398, and was missing a little bit of power. He only had a 139 ISO to go along with 21 stolen bases in less than 200 plate appearances. I mean, like you have to discount that it's a DSL for sure, but if you can squint, if you can close your eyes a little bit, you know, a guy with that much hype behind him, and he does have a stat line to back it up. The only stat line we have, we only have one line in Fangraphs. That's might great. Be worth a flyer. Like, you know, not at $700 for sure, but if you can find some interesting mega box stuff or some cool raw cards that you can get graded, or this might be a guy that you never see lower prices on again. You know, it's same as a Volpe thing. You may never see lower than $700 for a PSA 10 on Christian Hernandez. So that would be the guy that I'd be most excited about here.
Yep, definitely. I think I would, if I'm going for a value play, I think it would be Royce Lewis. I know he is coming into an older, and that's mostly because he got set back a year due to injury.
Yeah.
But he has started the year off fantastic. He's got a 13% walk rate, 19% K rate. He's hitting the ball pretty hard as well with a 309 average. He's already got 2 homers and 3 steals. 3 steals is good. Coming off that injury makes you feel good about his running ability. And he was a top draft pick as well. So like he just kind of hasn't put all together. This is one of the best K, like I know it's the start of the year, but it's the best walk to K rate he's had. I think that's just a great thing looking forward for him. I know that's kind of, again, probably more of the Michael Bush play. I think he's just a good value, the guy that might remember how good he was. And when he gets called up, there'll be a nice bump. Still think he's limited in terms of, you know, our Hall of Fame hope type approach.
Yep, agreed.
And yeah, I did want to miss the last thing I would say to Christian Hernandez too. I think for me, when it comes to play with him, I think the autos might be kind of out of play for me just because it's a really big risk. I would go towards those black white sparkles that came in the light boxes or anything colored that's just non-auto to kind of make those plays. Because if we saw what happened with Julio, all these guys come up, those color cards explode as well. And I think those ones are a little bit more manageable in terms of price.
Yeah.
All right, our last bit, and then we're going to do over a couple names that didn't make the top 100 we think that we should talk about, and we'll get out of here. This has been a lot of fun. Thanks a lot, Rob, for coming on. So this group's very kind of, I don't know, it's kind of weak, I would say, but it's what you expect, 90 to 100. You got Duran, who had pretty big moments for the Red Sox as he started to work up the system. You have Mauricio, who was really high in 2019, Bowman, who hasn't done much. He's a very similar guy to, not to Dominguez, but in the sense that he's been young and hopeful the whole time, but hasn't put it together. And then we have Ramos, who's close to coming up. Kowser, who's one of the big guys out of 2021 draft. And then Gabriel Arias is a guy that's kind of a sleeper that's coming up with Cleveland. Who do you like on this list, Rob? It's a little bit slim pickings.
I'm struggling here. I've covered Elliot Ramos on my show and found that he's, I think, a little bit overrated. There's nobody here. I'm gonna have to tap out on the last 10, man. I'm sorry, but I've got some great options outside of the 100. So,
yeah, well, it's tough because the only guy that looks somewhat attractive is Kowser, because he's a great hit tool, but at the same time, he's priced pretty high right now, especially in a group of Orioles we talked about that has a lot of guys coming up that, with hitting wise. Yeah. So I think that's just kind of hard to jump in on him. I think Gabriel Arias could be decent. I have a couple of his cards. I think he's a contact guy, like again, those middle infielders with Cleveland, whatever happens, they tend to do well with developing those guys with him and Rocchio and whatnot. So I'm gonna pay attention there. Curtis Mead is kind of one guy that people are eyeing that's going to probably come out in 2022 Bowman. So a guy just keep a name on. And then, like, I'm kind of with you. Ramos is older, hasn't really done it consistently enough. And Duran kind of dropped in terms of contact. So it's kind of hard to really rely on him overall. Just before we get to the guys that, weren't on the top 100. One thing to consider, we have 22 guys that are kind of projected slash will be off this list as promotions. Yeah. So that means we're going to have 22 new guys move into this with the, and possibly drop out. So a lot of movement every year. So that's one thing that these next four guys that we have for you pay attention to, because they pretty much guarantee to be top 100, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Maybe even in the top 50, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. So Pete Crow Armstrong, again, another 2020 draft guy. He is now with the Cubs, was on the Mets during that time. He was part of the trade for Javi Baez, I believe.
Yep.
And then we have Kobe Mayo, Sam Fran, out of 2020 Bowman Chrome, Carson Williams, out of 2021 draft, and Evan Carter, again, out of 2020 draft. Rob, these are guys you guys list names you gave me. Maybe want to just run through what you like most about each of them, and then maybe I'll just counter.
Yeah, for sure. So Pete Crow was a 19th draft pick coming out when he was drafted. He's only 20 years old. He's in and he just turned 20, so he's a very young 20. He's in A-ball. The Cubs also are one of these organizations where I think if you look forward, right now they look kind of awful, but within the next 5 years, I think this is going to be a super team. I'm not sure what their pitching situation is like, but their offense is going to be really exceptional, especially with Seiya Suzuki there. So Pete Crow has a even split walks and strikeouts right now in the minors. He's just come back from an injury. I did check in with Chris about this, who's a doctor who comes onto our show, and he's not worried about the injury long term at all. It was a torn labrum in his non-throwing shoulder, and it looks like Pete Crow Armstrong is actually hitting the ball harder this year than he was previously. So there doesn't seem to be a power loss there. So walks and strikeouts 16% even across the board, to go along with six stolen bases and an OBP of 449 to start the year. I'm really surprised that the hobby hasn't jumped on this. I went on a little buying spree last night when I was doing research for your show and bumped into this, and I think that's a screaming opportunity right there. There's a purple auto that I put on a PSA 9 that I put an offer on eBay last night. It was going for 150. I offered the guy 120. He came back with $145 for a purple auto of a potential top 50 prospect. I think even higher could be if he continues this. I think that's a crazy one. And BABIP is low, 321 for a guy who's very fast. So there's no luck here. Obviously, this can all turn around. Maybe he's just having some luck out of the gate, but he looks really exceptional.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say 145 would put him at 30th in terms of raw card value. Like, right. In terms of, so I mean, that's a great deal. And those, we're talking about raw base cards. So definitely great buy.
Exactly. Next on the list, or did you want to?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Next on the list for me, Coby Mayo. He hasn't had such a great start to this year, but he really lit up my radar numbers wise last year. Coby Mayo last year had a 300, 400, 500 slash line in 125 plate appearances with Baltimore, as well as a 12.8% walk rate and only 20.8% K rate to go along with a 236 ISO. Just exactly the kind of profile that I'm looking for, especially when you're sort of deep diving with prospects. He was 103rd overall pick in the 2020 draft, but this is one thing that I was trying to do a little bit of a study on. They paid him, I can't remember exactly what the number is, but it was way, way over slot value to sign him at that point. He was the guy who got the highest percentage over slot value in the entire draft in 2020, which I do think is significant. So he hasn't come out of the gate all that strong in 2022 so far, but I feel like from his 2021 numbers, there's definitely something there.
Yeah, definitely. I was all about your points on him. It's his hard contact rate. Listened to an Orioles pod actually randomly, and they were all over it, loving his hard contact, his exit velocities, the things that he can do are pretty crazy. The other thing I'd say, he's $65 to $70 for a raw auto right now. Yeah. That put him at 47th overall on the list. So that's such a great buying opportunity, especially if he's a guy that's going to jump up to, you know, 35, 40. Right. Through a full year of work, which it looks like the numbers say he will be like entrenched in the top 100, if not top 25.
I think so too. Yeah. He also, you know, this is a little thing, but I've started to get into this a little bit more. You look him up on social media and you, and he's a good guy. He just seems to be relatively grounded. He was actually a student at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting. And
oh yeah,
there's videos of him talking about that, and he seems to have his head on his shoulders, which I do think ultimately is, you know, something that we don't look at enough and is really important.
Definitely. All right, what do you think about Carson Williams? He's a recent 2021 draft.
So Carson Williams is expensive already. I don't have a price in front of me, but I was looking at him, and I can't find a deal on Carson Williams right now. But okay. his numbers are also really exceptional. He's an A ball, 19 years old. He plays for the Rays. And his OBP coming out into 2022 is 426 with a 333 ISO. You know, those are exceptional numbers for a 19-year-old. What you want to see young guys do special things. His walk rate isn't as high as you might want it to be, 9%, and his K rate's a little bit too high, 28, but nothing too worrying. He's also had some luck to start off the year, so this is a guy I would want to be careful with, especially with his prices, but I know he is getting a little bit of helium in the hobby right now. I mentioned him to a mutual friend of ours, and he already knew about him because of some friends of his that were chasing him. His BABIP so far in 2022 is 500. So, you know, you want to proceed with caution, especially because the prices are high, but could be an interesting guy to have on the radar.
Yeah. I mean, his last couple of base autos aren't terrible. They're only 60, right around 60 bucks, 60 to 70. So, I mean, he is a little bit more affordable. I'm sure I think the color has jumped quite a bit based on what I was seeing. So I think you're right on that. But still, if you want to get into a base auto, that's what we're kind of evaluating here. I think he still is a buy. If he's $60, puts him around 53, 54 overall on the list. So there's still some potential there. What do you think about the 19-year-old Evan Carter?
So I was really high on him before he got injured. He was just lighting it up, especially just in terms of contact skills. And he has come back from his injury, and I think it's the same injury actually that Peter Armstrong had. It was a shoulder thing in the non-throwing shoulder, and he's just continued. So his OBP is 442 right now. He's 19 years old, and he's in high A as well. So he's facing some serious competition. It's kind of interesting that Texas moved him up so quickly right after his injury, and he's doing really, really well. The impressive numbers are on the percentage guys. He's got a 15.5% walk rate and a 19.2% K rate. That, you know, again, these are exceptional numbers for a 19-year-old. He's a guy that you want to say the power will come. Right,
he's exactly what I was gonna say. Yeah. He's 6'4", 190, You know, he's shown, you know, he hit two homers last year in 32 games, but he's got some steals to go with it. So easily, if that power clicks, then we could be into a while. And his base auto right now is going for $35. So this is a bargain bin play for sure. Right. So I definitely see the upside with him as well.
Yeah. I've been looking at colors and stuff like that, and they have jumped. He's in the, like, his blues are going for $150 already, and so, like, he is getting on the radar. If you want to jump on this, I would say you got to be quick. But I think that in a situation like him, all of these guys actually, is if you can find kind of the interesting cards. Like, I bought two Pete Crow Armstrong PSA 10 Sapphires last night for both under $100. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when the grading fee is $50, like, this just seems like a no brainer to me. Same with Evan Carter. You can find his Sapphire cards for, you know, really, really low prices. And these are cards that, you know, Torkelson's Sapphire right now is going for $500. So really the multiple that you can get on, you know, cards that people aren't necessarily chasing for the unknown guys, there's amazing opportunity there.
Absolutely. That's a great list of those four for sure. Again, just thanks for coming on with you, Rob, working through this massive list. It was a fun data pull day for me, is what I like to do. Yeah. Thanks to the listeners, you know, behind the numbers. We got behind the numbers for sure on this one, for a little off-season content for me outside the football realm, as I also am really passionate about baseball as well. Yeah. But again, thanks again, Rob. Make sure to check out Rob's podcast I help co-host with, Flagship Podcast. Where can they find you, Rob, on Twitter, Instagram, and everything?
Flagship Podcast on Twitter. Everything else is Flagship Baseball, on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube, everywhere else. Flagship Baseball, yeah.
Awesome. And if you want to hear us talk some more, we're going to be making another show shortly.
We are. That was a lot more fun than I thought I was going to be, Tyson, I have to admit.
Awesome. Well, hey, have a great time, Rob. I appreciate you coming on.
My pleasure.